Our scripture lesson today comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Listen carefully, for this is God's word for us here today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were there with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we didn't have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were there with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy, they are busybodies. Some people we command and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is right. May God have the blessing to the reading of our word and grant us understanding today in our hearing. Let's pray together. Lord God, we come before you today. We ask that you be with us and you be with our time together. Lord, you lead us. You place thoughts in our minds through your Holy Spirit that you would place there, God, that you would grow our minds and our hearts to become more like you. We pray this in your name, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We've had an interesting week. Anybody have an interesting week this week? It was probably more interesting than you thought it might be. The interesting thing about a week like this is that it points to some things that maybe we need to get our focus back on, some things that are a little bit more simple rather than more complex. I don't know if I rarely ever spend time writing down a prayer. But I've been thinking about this is that I look at the way people are responding, whether you find yourself on one place or another or with one candidate or another, but I find the way that people respond quite repulsive. In fact, it's hard for me to look at and teach my own children how to be good, God-fearing men and women when I see people who I'm looking to for help in that matter acting like something less than good, God-fearing men and women. It's very disturbing to me. I look at the news feed that I have, and I try not to. I didn't look at any news feeds for a long time because I'm disturbed by what people say. Are you disturbed by what people say? And I disagree. You know, my dad taught me a couple things. But one of the things that he taught me is that there are going to be times in your life where you disagree with somebody, and they may be somebody who's a superior of yours. Have you ever disagreed with a teacher? I had some teachers in high school that I really didn't like at all. They were really frustrating to me. In fact, I thought they just were there just so they could get to their retirement as quickly as possible, and they were pretty much done with kids. You ever met any of those people before? And you just knew they were there just to twist a little bit more so they could have a little fun with you at your expense. Anybody had a teacher like that? But when they put on the board to do X and X page and X and X workbook, what did you do? You did what they asked you to do because guess what? They were people who had authority over you and you were there to do a job, to get things done the way that you ought to do them and not to buck the system, right? Because I could have said, you're treating me bad and you're doing all this stuff negative against me, but yeah, you know, that was just going to get me in trouble when I got home. And I was more afraid of my dad than I was the teacher in the front of the room. So I come to the daycare. Well, some of you don't know what the schedule I have is for children, but I came to the daycare on Wednesday morning and spoke to Zeke like I normally do. And every morning I try to ask him how his day was the day before because that's not a day that I have him. It's Tuesday afternoon, so I come on Wednesday mornings to see him at the daycare. And he was dejected looking. And he was concerned. He was upset. And you know, I told him that I'm not looking for any hope in anybody who's the president of our United States. Did you know that? They're not the one that gives me hope. There's two places that we have hope. And it doesn't matter if you're for Hillary or you're for Trump or whoever you're for. I could really care less. But the two places that we're to find hope in this world is number first and foremost in Jesus. And I said, the second place I find hope is in you, son. I said, you give me hope. Why do I raise you? Why do I put this effort into your life? Why am I trying to help you be a good man? It's because there's a future out there that I'm not going to be in. There are going to be people out in the world that need what you alone can give them. They need a heart like you have to minister to them. That's why you're my hope. Well, I think it, you know, he looked at me a little bit like, well, you put a lot of stock in me here, Dad. I'm only, you know, 10 years old, but the reality is a lot of us are putting efforts. If you put a lot of effort into a well from which you'll never draw, what does that mean? You're never going to get any sustenance from a well that no longer carries water in it. You can put all the effort in trying to get that water back, but the reality is you're never going to get anything from it. The effort that we need to be putting in to our world comes from the way we love people. It comes from the way that we care for somebody. It comes, our allegiance is not to any political system. And I think that we've got a lot of effort tied up into politics and political systems. And in reality, our allegiance is not first and foremost to any of those things. Our allegiance is to Jesus Christ. And we ought to act like we know Him. And the things that we put, I don't know if you've ever wanted to say something or to write something that you know wasn't the right thing to do. Anybody ever do that? Oh yeah, it's me. I have to think about all the time who I am. Do you ever have to do that? I got to think about who I am and what I want to say, because sometimes I want to say things that I shouldn't say because of who I am. You ever been there before? And I don't think that's really, you know, it's not just pastors that do that. It should be any person who a little child looks up to be their leader. You should have to think about what you write and what you say before you say it, because some of those things will come back to haunt you, won't they? They'll come back to be things that you are really wishing that you didn't have to eat those words and apologize for, but you do have to because you realize you were wrong at the time. Because here's the thing about emotions. One of the things I can tell you about emotions is that emotions change, don't they? There are times I'm so very angry that I could just bite someone's head off. But then after I have a rule that I've kind of started to follow. It's a 48-hour rule. If I'm still that angry after 48 hours, you deserve to get your head bit off. But if in reality, if I go into that day and I'm angry about it, if I can wait for 48 hours and the next day, it's you know what? 90% of things that I'm angry about are gone in 48 hours without any word coming out of my mouth. You ever try it sometime? You know, it definitely makes a little bit more of a harmonious marriage if you don't say some of those things you really want to say. It makes a little bit more of a better family feel if your kids know that you love them and you're not always attacking them all the time. So I'll get back to the passage of Scripture that we have today. It's about idleness. It's about not working for what you should work for. And I kind of come at it a couple different ways. I have a whole sermon I'm not even preaching right now. I'm preaching a different one. Because there are people in this room, and it can be me too, that sometimes we put a lot of energy in something that's not getting the result that we intend to get. Did you ever notice that? And one of the things my dad taught me is that that every person is worth the wage that they are earning, right? And sometimes the places we're putting our efforts in aren't getting the results that we desire, and the reason is we're putting them in the wrong place. The efforts that we're pouring into something isn't giving, you know, I had an appointment this past Wednesday morning. Had an appointment, actually it was Monday morning, had an appointment to pick up somebody to take them to get some things done for them. I show up and the person that I put all this effort into, they weren't there because they decided they're going to go get high instead. You know, there's a lot of things that go around in my mind at that time, right? I got up early, skipped this, skipped that, showed up here, but you know what? I'd have done it anyway. I'd have done it again. Because what about that one chance of coming on the other side of that situation, that person standing there waiting for you, and they decided not to get high, and they see someone finally coming who really cares about them, that they can trust in their words, and they're there with them to help them get a better life. A lot of us, we get frustrated, right? We want to throw in the towel. We don't want to keep putting the effort out there. And that's what this passage of Scripture out says. What does it say at the end of it? It says, never tire of doing what is right or what is good. Never tire of doing what's right and what's good. I had an opportunity this week to go up to Indianapolis to meet our new bishop. He invited younger pastors. Now, the interesting thing is I barely made the cut on that. It's people under 40, and I'm 39, so I barely squeaked in. Tanya reminded me of that four times. I barely squeaked in it. But I got to meet the new bishop. You know, I was truly, truly humbled and appreciative of every word that he said that night. And the conversation went on and on, but I'll tell you this. One of the things I'm inspired by is two things that he said. One was, he came in there and he said, I want to tell you something. And I know that you have a lot of pressure on every one of you, and there's probably like 40 pastors in the room. He said, I know that a lot of you want to save the United Methodist Church, but I'm going to set you free in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to not save the United Methodist Church. You can go. He said, I'd rather you go love people and live the truth that God has placed in your life than try to save something that is going to sink or swim either way. He said, be set free to live the truth that God's inspired you to live. So today I set you free to go live the truth that God's inspired you to live. God has placed a truth in your heart that you're to live and to be and cast hope in places that are dark. And sometimes we do that with tact and dignity and diplomacy, and sometimes we don't. Amen? We've got to do it with tact, with dignity, and with some diplomacy. We've got to be able to say things the right way and do things the correct way, and sometimes we don't feel like it. Right? I didn't feel like it when Kansas lost to Indiana. I didn't feel like being the bigger person, right? A couple of my friends, Nancy Kennedy is one of them, but my friend Scott Hare, he had a picture of him and his family, and they had those red striped pants on. And I said he had got the wrong color, so now he thinks I'm going to have to wear red striped pants one day because of Kansas losing to Indiana. But we get frustrated about things, right? And sometimes rightly so. But even if you're frustrated about the right thing, you still got to go about it the right way. Did you know that? Even if somebody's doing something that's negative, then what do I teach my children? If someone's doing something negative and you add a negative on top of the negative, what do you have? A mess is what you have. So what you have to do is figure out avenues where you can do the right thing the right way. And you know what? God's given each of us a brain to think for ourselves. And there are people out in this world that are putting messages in your mind that may or may not always be the truth. Did you know that? Every time you turn on the television, you're listening to things and information is being processed in your brain. Please look at me and know that you're paying attention. Seriously, this is completely true. I tell Emma this and Phoebe and Zeke this, is that when they turn on the radio, the songs that they're singing, and they say, well, I just like the beat to them. But I said, those words that the beat is with don't make no sense for your life. And, this is what everybody, I don't care what everybody else listens to. I care about you being the best person that I can help you be. And that language and that way that they're talking and that song doesn't really add up together, even though it's cute when they're about this big to see them shake their booties. When they're this big and they actually have a booty, it's a little different, right? It becomes not so cute, doesn't it? So when you turn on the television, I'm telling you the same thing I teach my kids. When you turn on the television set and you hear someone tell you something on the television set, God gave you a brain and he gave you some morals. He gave you some values through which it's supposed to be a strainer, a colander to the way that you live. He had values and morals in your mind that should decipher some of the code and be able to say, sometimes what I say is turn off the TV or switch to something on demand, right? Because I'm not going to listen to all the other baloney. But each of us have our own abilities to make decisions that are going to be best, not only for our lives, but also for the lives of other people. And I think sometimes we've made the wrong choices. We've made the wrong choices for our lives. We've also made the wrong choices for someone else's life. Amen? Martin Luther King Jr. Says something that I think is really important. He said, if a person is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted or Beethoven composed music or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Interesting, isn't it? Are you doing the job well that God has given you? I remember something about my dad, and you've heard me tell this story before. Is that he had this philosophy in his life, and it's one that, there's a lot of things I disagreed about with my dad when I was growing up. I really, truly did, but as I've grown older, in fact, the older I get, the more I agree with some of them, maybe not the way he carried them out all the time, but actually some of the philosophies that he had. My dad worked incredibly hard. In fact, this passage of Scripture makes me automatically think of him because my dad is one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. In fact, I think he could work, circles around most of us right now, even over 60 years old. He's just that kind of person. But he had this philosophy that if he had to work 50, 60, 70, I don't even know how many hours a week he worked when I was growing up. He worked on a road construction crew. He drove a scraper. Then he became the foreman of the crew. And you know, he was out there sweating in the hot sun all day long. And then he'd come home, he would eat. But he thought if he had to be home on the weekends, on Saturday, if he got Saturday, or if he worked on Sunday, that his kid shouldn't be in bed sleeping. He thought if he had to do all that work through the week, that his kid should be in the weekend when he's mowing the lawn, or he's doing plumbing, or if he's underneath the car trying to fix it. He thought that his kid should be out there too. They shouldn't be getting the luxury of sleeping in whenever he was having to work and then work again. That's a good philosophy to have, you know? If you let your kids sleep when you're out there working and cleaning the house, they never create a space or a room in their life to do the things that need to be done. They think that sleeping's what they should do. That's why their room is a mess, right? So I remember, and he heard me say this, and it's a funny thing, but he said he would come to the door and he would knock, and he would say, "Jimmy, it's time to get up." It only happened to me one time, but the second time he came to the room, he had an ice-cold pitcher of water, and he dumped it on me. So the next time, next weekend or the weekend after that, he knocked on the door, and the first thing I did was go, "Yes, sir, I'm ready." Whatever it was, he didn't have to do it more than once. He knew that if he was going to get up, I was going to get up and be there too. And I remember being under the car, working with my dad. I think it was actually cold outside. It wasn't hot. We were under the car, and I think he was changing a starter on a car. And he asked for something-something size wrench. And I remember handing him something-something size wrench, or what I thought it was, and it coming flinging back at me, hitting me right in the head. I think that's child abuse nowadays. Saying, "That wasn't the blanking wrench that I asked for. Get me the right one." Now, that's interesting, isn't it? But you know, that taught me something about life, right? To do it right the first time. Are there times that you don't feel like doing it right the first time? Yeah. But in this passage of Scripture, one of the things that we can kind of connect with is that as Christians, a testimony to how our lives are being lived is how hard we work and what effort we put in for the greater good of everyone. Are you putting forth the effort that God would want for you to have in your life in the jobs and work that you do? Are you giving it your whole heart? Or are you just kind of pitter-pattering around just so you can pass the time, just like my high school teacher seemed to be doing? Are you putting forth that effort? Are you putting your heart behind it? Are you giving it your everything? One of the things that the Apostle Paul knew about, and there's a couple people that did some work. You know, Paul went on 3 different missionary journeys. In the time which Paul lived, it wasn't easy enough just to get in your car and drive to state to state to state or whatever. You were getting on a ship, right? He was a sailor most of the time, going from port to port to port. One guy did some basic estimations on the amount of travel that Paul did on just his second missionary journey. It amounted to about 3,000 miles, 2,000 of which would have been on foot. The average daily distance of a traveler during Paul's time was a little under 20 miles a day. About every 20 to 25 miles, there was a Roman inn. It would have been a bug-infested place. It would have been filthy. But he could have got to that inn. He could have stayed the night there. But he felt that something was so important in his life that he was going to travel 3,000 miles. He was going to get on boats that oftentimes sank. They could not even go out into the main part of the ocean or the Mediterranean Sea. They had to stay along the coast because the ships were so rickety that if they went out in the middle of the water and a storm blew up, they were sinking. So he stayed along the coast just to get to the next place to have a message to be shared. Why did he do all that? Why did he go through snowy mountain passes? Why did he risk the threat of being burglarized and robbed at a knife point or killed or whatever? Why did he do that? Because he had something in his heart, in his life, that he decided that really did matter. Amen? And then when he got there, it says that he continued to work. Did he ask for a free handout from everybody? Was he a tent maker on the side? Because he wanted to make sure he was setting the example. So after he had that long, hot, tired journey, he still put forth the effort anyway to make sure he wasn't a burden to somebody else. You know who he's speaking this to? And I've heard people say this the wrong way. People will say, well, people on welfare should get off welfare. That's what they're talking about right here. Not so much. Wrong application. That's not who he's talking to. Who's he talking to? He's not sending this message to the poor or the people that are coming to the church to get alms. Who's he talking to? To the church at Thessalonica. So he's talking to people like us, saying that you're not working hard enough to make sure that, and he knew about it. He actually had it in his heart. He actually put the effort behind. He put his hand to the plow. He knew what it was about. He was doing it by example, saying you're not working hard enough at doing good and doing the right thing. And after this whole week that I've seen unfold, I would say that none of us here are doing enough to do what's good and do the right thing. And if we are, we're probably putting a few of our efforts in the wrong basket. Wouldn't you say? I need your help. I need every one of your help. I need your help to raise Phoebe, Zeke, and Emma the way that God would have me to raise them. And I need your help to help me be the man that God wants me to be too. And I think each and every one of us needs each other's help, don't we? To be the men and women God wants us to be. And I want to inspire you to follow after Christ more diligently. Do not trust in politics as the answer, because it's not the answer. The answer is in the love that you bear and the effort you're going to put forward to make a difference in this world. That's where it's at. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I come before you today and I know that you're real, that you're working. And Lord, I know that the very real frustrations we face as human beings. Lord, I know what it's like to see people who are going through struggles and they're being subjugated and put down and tore down by other people and wanting to lash out too. But Lord, you call us to be bigger than that. You call us to be people who love and lead with your love every day. And Lord, I pray that you help us put our energies and our efforts into places that really do make a difference. Lord, I pray that whatever little difference we can make, that we will, that we'll be an example to our children and our children's children, and we'll leave an example in them that inspires them to be men and women who make change and make it in a way that will honor you. We pray this in your name. Amen.